everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The NBA, where blown calls happen. Actually, I just described every single sport. How Harden's dunk didn't count, whether it made a win or loss. And also, I mean, it was an inconceivable berserker night with the Houston Rockets. That's our panel. Let's go.
I want to see fouls. Who doesn't want to see fouls? I like seeing fouls.
I want to see mic'd up every single play in the NBA. Every single play. If you're asking if the Rockets are protesting, and could it be that this is the protest in sports that actually works and gets the result overturned? Not exactly clear. Almost looks like the Rockets are playing it out in public opinion and they're thinking they have a chance to be given a victory for yesterday's loss. Or if not that, replay the last 7 minutes, 50 seconds. Everything after Harden's dunk that went through but didn't get counted. League Rule 5, Section 1, Subsection A. Ball has to go through the cylinder, does not have to go all the way through the net. So there it is. That's objective. That Mike D'Antoni didn't get his challenge in time, that's also in play here. All in all, this is, yes, a berserker game. Harden and the multiple offensive fouls, the overtimes, Harden and the fan. But we have to start with that dunk, Bill Plaschke. Do the Rockets have a case to be given a victory here?
No, they have no case at all. They shouldn't replay one second of that game. So an official made a mistake. It happens every day. So a team was cost a basket. It happens every game. The Rockets, by the way, missed 69 other shots that game, committed 16 turnovers. A lot of mistakes made in that game. You can't replay the game just because the official blew a call. It happens all the time. It's a slippery slope. You can't start down that slope. The Rockets just have to eat this.
Darius Span, you're shaking your head no.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope if you're trying to argue subjective calls need to be reversed. But this was objective. The ball went into the hoop. It was a basket. Now, whether or not you believe the Rockets should have been able to hold on to a 13-point lead against a team that's 6 games under 500 with more than 7 minutes to play is actually irrelevant because they were playing a game based on what they thought the score was, which was 2 points less than what they actually have. It's an embarrassment to the NBA that the call was wrong. It's an embarrassment to the NBA that D'Antoni said he did try to challenge it, and he was ignored first and then given a second answer to what the call on the court was. That's the problem. It shouldn't just be 30 seconds have passed. We didn't give you a straight answer. They need to fix this, and they need to replay the last 7 minutes, 50
seconds. Replay the last 7:50. You wouldn't just give Houston a win here.
Of course not.
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, to me, everybody got this wrong, right? Harden got it wrong. You saw him run back onto the court. He thought he had missed a shot. If you listen to the broadcast of the game, they thought he had missed a shot. D'Antoni got it wrong. He should have challenged. The only thing to challenge there is whether or not it was a made basket. He thought that it was. The referees got it wrong. They should have cleared this up more quickly than they probably did. Everyone should have gotten a handle on this entire thing. Is it a problem that the Rockets were up 102-89 at that time and didn't hold on? Yeah, that is a problem. Is it a problem that Harden was 4 of 20 from the 3-point line? That is part of the problem. It all contributed to their loss. But does that mean you go back and play this game over, play the last 7 minutes? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, you say. How about you, Jackie Mack?
Listen. Did the Houston Rockets get screwed on that call? Yes, they did. Sarah and Tony, because you seem to be like-minded on this particular issue. Yes, they did. It was the wrong call. We can all agree. It was the wrong call. The referees made a mistake. I watched it three times. I wasn't sure until the third time. If you guys have x-ray vision, it could tell in the field of play. That was
the... I understand what you're saying.
Okay, but... just making sure. I just want to get all our ducks in a row here. Okay, let us continue. So then there was a challenge, okay? The challenge, Mike D'Antoni said it was sooner. The ref said it wasn't in time. If the challenge had been thrown and been allowed to proceed, then the place would have been overturned, the shot would have counted, and we would be on our merry way. So yes, that's a problem. But you talk, Sarah, about this being an embarrassment for the NBA. If I were a member of the Houston Rockets, and after this happened, I went up by 16 points against a team that is struggling at, like it never has in the history of the world, I would be embarrassed that I couldn't close out this basketball
okay.
game.
All right.
The Houston Rockets should be as embarrassed as the NBA, if you want to suggest anyone. I'm telling you right now, this, if you're going to point to this and say, we got robbed, oh, stop.
I think Sarah's going to pull a muscle in her eyes, rolling. Go ahead, please, Sarah. You said it was irrelevant,
I don't
score
disagree.
And the game and everything like that. Please.
I don't disagree that the Rockets should be embarrassed by not closing out this game, but you guys are talking slippery slope for if we replay this. How about a slippery slope for it's just a mistake, sorry, our bad. When it's a clear, objective basket that was scored, not a charge we got wrong, not a foul we shouldn't have called, but a basket that was scored that we should be able to look at again and see correctly, and a challenge that was claimed to have been asked for and was ignored.
There you go, Jackie. Those ducks are now in a row as well for you. Do you not agree that this was an objective call? Do you not seem to feel that way about it?
I understand that. I do understand that. And had the challenge been able to made, we wouldn't have be having this discussion right now. Yeah. I don't really know, none of us do on this panel, by the way, what the dialogue was between the referees and Mike D'Antoni. Did the time expire properly? Did he ask for the challenge? Was he confused about the two differing accounts he got? All of that may be true. That's all well okay. and good. Okay. But if we're going to talk about the objectiveness of it, according to the referees, the challenge was not made in time. Okay. So therefore, on with the game that you blew.
All right. Great.
Come on, guys.
And I'm happy to see Bill Plaschke and Kevin Blackstone are still with us. Great. Great to see you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello.
I was going to give you guys a Peloton just to ride during this. Let me ask you this, Jackie Mack.
Terrible commercial.
We had a conversation before we sat down here, as you have alluded to, about the NBA's challenge policy and it not working here,
right.
at least in my estimation.
Right.
But you have since said that you feel differently, right? You did
bit.
Some reporting. Please expound on that.
Right. Right. So I had said on our conference call today that I thought they should get rid of the NBA coaches challenge because the coaches all seem so unhappy about it. So I thought, well, if I'm going to say that, I should probably check in with a couple of coaches, which is what I've done since then. And there is a frustration level, but believe me, they don't want this eliminated. And I'll tell you something else. This is not like the NFL where everybody says, oh, the refs, they don't want to make the other guy look wrong. 45% of the time, these calls are overturned. That's a pretty good number if you're an NBA coach. Now, what the change needs to be is coaches are relying on their players, Tony. The players are saying, man, Dad, you got a coach. Hey, coach, challenge that. I'm telling you, it's not what you think. And it's not like upstairs in the NFL where you have other eyes watching and they can call down and tell you, yes,
okay.
challenges.
I'm not sure we should say the NFL's got this absolutely right as well in our comparison. Bill Plaschke, when the call plays out like it did last night and now we have questions about the challenge and there's a time thing here, and you've seen Doc Rivers, just to make an aside here, get this wrong every time he tries it. What do you think of this rule?
All I can think of is, why didn't somebody watching in New York, seeing that play, buzzing the referee saying, stop, stop, stop. Why can't that happen? I don't understand why isn't it, or you say the NFL is not a model league for that, but the NFL does get it right in the last 2 minutes of games. Why isn't somebody who's not on the court, who's not maybe even in the arena, watching this? We all saw it at home. Jackie says you watched it three times. We had time. They had time to stop it. Why isn't this somebody doing that?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, common sense could have played out here. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, the referees not necessarily handling this properly. I don't remember a big 30-second clock on the screen counting down when the challenge could be made or suggesting that a challenge could be made. So, and let's not forget, how long have we had this challenge rule in the NBA? not too long. So it's got to work itself out. And this is just the growing pains of it right now. Everyone's got to get comfortable with it. Everyone's got to find out how it's going to work. And coaches need to understand when you can use it and when you can't.
I'd love to live in the Blackstone household as a parent. But there's some growing pains here. This stuff will work itself out. It's only been a few months, years, centuries. Sarah Spades on that challenge. And then we have some more to talk about from this game. But please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to quickly say we're all making it more complicated. Sure, it'd be nice to have someone watching to call in and say, let's review this. But get a challenge flag like the NFL. We make fun of it, but guess what? We would know if he challenged it or not if he threw a red flag on the court instead of having a he said about this.
Yeah, and somebody's going to slip on the flag, injure themselves.
Oh, Bill.
We'll move on. So that blown call, how about the two offensive foul calls at the end of regulation at the end of the second overtime on Harden? Real quick, does anybody think Harden has beef there? You could shake your head either way. No? No beef on Harden.
No beef.
Fine. So let's talk about third plot line of this game. The hilarity of no one wants to see a free throw shooting contest. No one wants to see fouls either. That was the exchange Harden had with a fan in the middle of the game, caught by the microphones, which, again, I say, microphone everything. Mic up everything. Ratings are down 25%. Mic up everything. But Kevin Blackiston, I'll start with you. Harden's place in public consciousness right now, it's kind of bizarre. You know, his coach is calling him the greatest scorer since Kareem or Jordan or Kobe or whatever it is. He's dropping 60 in three quarters. He's averaging 39.5 points a game. But the feeling is he's not doing it the right way by a majority of, I believe, NBA fans. So do you think last night's exchange proves that's in Harden's head?
No, I don't think so at all. Look, James Harden is one of the premier scorers that we've ever seen in this league, maybe the greatest scorer of his generation. And I'm not taking anything away from Kevin Durant. This guy has been improvisational in terms of the way he scores. Some would say actually breaks the rules the way he scores. But, you know, he's still putting the ball in the basket. There's nothing wrong. If you get fouled that often, you go to the line and you convert all of your 24 free throws, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And fans don't, you know, fans want to yell that out. Go right ahead. Go to another game. Don't come to this game.
Let me ask you, though. Do you believe it's a fair critique of him?
I don't think it's a fair negative critique. I don't think there's anything pejorative about his game. He's still a guy that I want to watch
okay.
any night.
That's playing. You. I mean, certainly some fans are putting the pejorative on this, if we could say it like that. Bill Plaschke, where'd you come down in an exchange from Harden? Do you think it's in his head that people don't like his game and are not really rooting for him out there?
No, I don't think so. And you say it's a fair critique. Well, it's certainly fair for the San Antonio fan. I don't know if every fan feels this way about him. He, you know, fans complain when they don't make the free throws. He makes the free throws. Fans complain when you miss shots. He makes the shots. He works the system. He games the system. It works. It works for him. I don't think any criticism of him is warranted in this.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Warriors argument. When the Warriors started hitting all the threes, it was, oh, they're ruining the game. What's happening to the bigs? Yada, yada, yada. Then we decide we like it, and now we miss it. It feels like it's a philosophical look at it. As soon as I heard James Harden describe it as, you're allowed two steps. No one said they had to be forward. I just thought, oh, my God, he's recreating the game right in front of us. This is something to admire. Whether we find it as aesthetically pleasing as what we're used to doesn't mean that he's not doing something amazing. And as for the free throws, they were 42 of 112 from the field. Is that more aesthetically pleasing than shots that are actually made? I mean, there's something to be said for actually putting the basket in the bucket.
Okay. Certainly within the realm of possibility. I'm off here, and I'm not, maybe NBA fans aren't lining up against Harden here. Jackie, do you have a view of that?
Well, I do think people would rather watch down the floor action. I think what Harden gets a little sensitive to is I think some of his colleagues in the NBA aren't crazy about it. They think he gets too many calls. If you really want to look to the sensitive spot, that's where I think it is.
Well, he put up the stats that he has this year, though, and I don't think Rockets fans have a problem with that. I mean, he's had 4 60-point games in his career, which is tied with Jordan and 2 behind Kobe Bryant. And then it's 28 behind Wilt. Wilt has all the scoring records, and additionally, he also played basketball. We'll be back, buy or sell next.
Oh, I got what I got.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Jim Beam. Raise one to your fan family. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Carolina Panthers today announcing Cam Newton will undergo surgery on his foot. It had been physical therapy the last couple months. Now surgery is necessary. His third on some body part in the last 21 months. That's Cam. The other news in Carolina, the firing of Ron Rivera yesterday. Here's owner David Tepper.
Look, this process is not a single-year process, a single-day process. If people believe or fans believe that I'm going to hire the Messiah in here and it's going to make, you know, bring you to the promised land in 1 year, I got a few guys they should meet. They can meet the Tooth Fairy. They can meet Santa Claus.
Where is David Tepper from? Jackie, sounds like maybe you're neck of the woods right now. The microprocessors. Bill, what now for the Panthers? What now for Cam?
Well, I think Cam is gone. They can save $19 million by getting rid of him. He's gone. I think they'll get a new coach in there. And it's really a good decision by Tepper. Good of him to do this now because he's going to go behind Rivera's back anyway, trying to find a replacement. He's short of respect to the man. But he had three winning seasons in 9 years.
Back to your headline, you think Cam's gone. I mean, that may have been what people thought a month ago with Kyle Allen. Mm-hmm.
There's no question he's gone. It's too much. It's a money deal at this point.
Sarah Spain?
I do like Tepper deciding to do this to respect Rivera, to not go behind his back, also to allow him to speak the day after being fired, which not everyone is given the trust to do. As for Cam, it certainly feels like, yeah, that $19 million and the question marks about his health going forward, the amount that they've already abused his body in the way that they've used him while he was there, it feels like Tepper probably will want a fresh start. I don't know if firing Rivera is the right choice. 10th best record in the NFL over his time, and I think there was probably a lot that went down this season between Cam and Kyle Allen and everyone else that he KB?
Well, as far as Cam is concerned, you know what? It sounds like the team is going in a new direction. Maybe they should have thought about that in the offseason after they had that 7-game losing streak last year. And the other odd thing about this team is, you point out his record, Bill, but the other thing is that even under John Fox, this is what this team does. They get one Super Bowl in about 10 years, and they never have back-to-back winning seasons. They never seem to get momentum.
They get to one Super Bowl every 10 years, says the man from Washington. What would you do for that? Yeah. Jackie Mack, how about you?
So the timing of it doesn't bother me at all. You guys are talking about the timing from the team side, but I also think for Ron Rivera, the timing's good for him as well because he will not be out of a job very long at all. And I think if Cam Newton also goes on, I will say that both of them will be in the NFL next year somewhere else. Cam Newton with another team and Ron Rivera with another team. And this owner may look back and say, you know what? Man, I could sure use a coach like that because I think Ron Rivera is a really great coach. And I think the unfortunate injuries to Cam Newton cost him his job. Not much more, really.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Tua. Reportedly still mulling his decision. Go pro or stay at Alabama? Inside that, maybe it's even possible there's more than just two options. Go pro and get drafted. Go pro but not enter the draft and rehab. Or redshirt and stay at Alabama. He's calling it a business decision. Sarah, how do you hear that?
Well, that third option makes no sense to me because the only reason to leave is to get some money now. It might not be as much as you initially expected or wanted, but get the money now. Perhaps be in an even better position because you're then drafted by a team that's not so desperate, that's maybe better off, and then you might be set up for a longer career in that next big contract. The first option is not as crazy as people might think because the difference in money he could make if he comes back as a first rounder.
KB?
It is crazy because money you have today is not going to be worth the same tomorrow. Leave! Run! Hurry! Look what happened to Sam Bradford. He came back his junior year. He hurts his knee in the very first game. Then he comes back again, tries to play. Then he busts his shoulder up, needs to get surgery. Then he finally said, okay, now it's time for me to leave. Run for the hills!
But how did it affect Sam Bradford's draft status?
Let's say. Maybe. Or his
it
wallet.
It didn't.
Tua's not going to hurt
Tua. It didn't affect his wallet either. I'm not sure if I follow you
it
there.
It did because he held on to the money.
It certainly affected his game. His body was never the same. And that's in play here with Tua, right? Having three surgeries like he has. Jackie Mack, please join us.
Well, that's the thing. He's had three surgeries. One, not the same area either. Left ankle, right ankle, now a hip. So if I'm Tua, I'm going pro. I may not be the number one pick anymore, but I think if you do go late in the first round, and I haven't seen a single mock draft that has him out of the first round. I know people are saying that. I haven't seen it. He's going to make money. He's going to have time to develop. He's going to have time to maybe work under a veteran quarterback with a veteran team instead of being thrown out there with one of these bad teams with a bad offensive line. It may work out okay.
Stop getting beat up for nothing. Go pro. Yeah, you're injury prone. You won't be taken very high in the draft, but Sarah makes a good point. A lot less pressure on you. You'll be taken probably 18 to 20. You'll still make a lot of money. You'll get your pro career started. You stay in college, you get hurt again, you may not get drafted at all.
I think we missed one surgery in there for Tua. I mean, there's a hand, there's each foot, and there's now this hip.
Forgot about the upper body. Finger. It was a finger.
All right, Bill Plaschke and Kevin Blackstone. I thought you guys did great today. Yeah, it's hard to get a word.
We were barely here.
Sarah said during the commercial break, Sarah and I are just trying to make it through today's show without getting grounded. Jackie Beck, Sarah Spade, Showdown next.
Watch out for Showdown.
Ducks in a row, young lady.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, just as it was, just as you expected. And then Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor. The table set. Now you just have to go sit down and eat the meal. Sarah Spain, Jackie Mack, welcome to Showdown. Sarah, how does that top four look? What do you think of 5 through 7?
I see chaos, because if Georgia loses, you've got 3 teams in Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor that think they have a spot, and that's what we sports media gas bags love, the drama.
Well, and the best part is they're going to play real games, right? Oklahoma and Baylor are going to play each other, mm-hmm. and Oregon has to play Utah. Those are all nationally ranked teams. That's why this really works.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think you have 3 teams, Sarah Spain, fighting for 4, because
right now.
Yeah, I know, but we're all looking forward here, and Oklahoma and Baylor, somebody's going to eliminate themselves. We'll give the point to Jackie Mack. Somebody like Sarah might eliminate herself. We'll move on. Getting crossed up, turned around, full baby gazelle splayed out and stepped on and over for the layup, and then he was called for the foul. Very tough exchange for Michigan State's Foster lawyer as I went to a different octave that I knew I had there. Jackie, what's the worst part of the sentence here?
Oh, man, it's all so cringeworthy, and I hope this young man goes on to hit a game winner very, very soon. But it's got to be, at the end of all that, you get stepped on and a block? Seriously?
Is that really a block?
His name is Foster Lawyer, so the good news is there will absolutely be some sort of lawsuit here. You absolutely can't make that call without some sort of somebody being sued.
Well, maybe I'll get sued for this, but Jackie Mack takes down Sarah Spain. 30 seconds of face time.
So remember a few years ago when we used to debate how UConn women's basketball was so bad for the women's game and no one was ever, ever going to win again? Well, I'm here to tell you, you should be paying attention to the women's game right now. Stanford is the number one for the first time in 7 years. And UConn is looking up at Oregon and Louisville. And by the way, Oregon State and South Carolina are all in the running for the national championship. If you don't think the women's game hasn't caught up to the men's game, you haven't been paying attention.
I think there's more to that list.
It's very exciting.
More to that list than Oregon, Baylor.
And you're
one of us.
If you don't
one of us.